this meeting to order. How's that?
Mine, I think it's working now. Mine keep going. Commissioner Maxig.
Here.
Commissioner Martinez.
Here.
Commissioner Parra.
Here.
Commissioner Santoyo.
Here.
Chair Mendez.
Here. I don't know why they're not working.
Fresno County function.
Yeah, hey. Okay, Victor, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes. Everybody who's right, ready so that.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So council, you will need to do the transition. So we need to do a motion to officially make the vice chair the chair?
Yes, according to the LAFCO's policies. The chair shall be elected every May.
I'll make a motion for Mario to become chair.
I'll second it. All in favor, so we're saying aye?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, hearing none? You're now the chair.
Nice.
And I'll make a motion for Victor to be vice chair.
Okay, I'll second that. Any other? Oh, you want to do them? Turn it over to him or it doesn't matter? Can't remember what we did last year.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I can turn the meeting over to Mario?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Official.
You didn't want to do it, huh? Okay. All right. So before we go to, a vote, is there any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. Seeing none, then I think we can go directly for a vote of the commission. And so I'll open that up. Those in favor of Mr. Martinez becoming the vice chair, say yes.
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 Okay. Well, congratulations, Mr. Martinez. Your first day, you're now the vice chair.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Good.
Happy to be here.
All right. With that, we'll go ahead and move forward. I think that we want to make note that there are agendas in the rear of the facility in case you want to follow the agendas or the agenda items. And so with that, we will go to recognition. I think that that's where we're at. Recognition of our former commissioner, Mr. Yep. And so do you want to provide some background on here before we go
full
recognition?
Yeah, I'll give a brief 20-minute presentation.
Excellent.
Okay.
And meanwhile, if you guys are interested in switching chairs, we can go ahead and get that taken.
We're fine.
You guys are good?
Yeah,
perfect.
Fine.
Okay. So Commissioner Yep has been with us for a little over 5 years. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor to serve with him. He did a fantastic job of representing Kerman while he was with us. And Gary, if you have a couple words you want to share with us, now's the time.
I know to keep the meetings brief, like Chairman Mendez, no nonsense. And then I think in the 5 years, I've done the flag salute for over 4.5 years of that, so glad to see you got some other person to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. And
I think right.
But thank you, and I enjoyed my time here. I hope I'll see you guys in other endeavors throughout the county of Fresno.
So
before you go, Gary, would like to have Buddy present you with a token of appreciation from the commission. So, Buddy?
Yeah. Well,
I asked for a gavel because I wanted to cut up some chicken breast for dinner tonight.
Oh. You'd have to have really small ones for this.
Congratulations, Commissioner.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, thanks, Gary. Okay, good job.
Thanks again.
Okay, I believe that we were going to make some agenda adjustments, so I'm going to ask, Brian, can you kind of reflect on what those adjustments are going to be?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. We had two requests come in today and late last
night. Is that you?
I don't know.
Did it work when you pushed the button?
Let's check. Maybe is my volume a little bit too loud? Okay, we'll see how this goes. So we received a request earlier this week and late last week, one from the City of Clovis asking to switch their item up with item 9. And incidentally, we got a call from Fresno that their staff would be arriving a little bit late today. So it actually kind of works out to switch those. If the chair and commission are open to that, it would help the meeting move hopefully a little bit quicker today. So the proposal would be to switch items 9 and 10 with each other.
Do we need to take any action?
I got no problem with that. But I will say that items 9 and 10 won't last very long. But I've got no issues with pushing item 9 to the end of the meeting.
Can we just do that? Or do
up to commission, basically, how you guys want to switch that up. So,
Does anybody have any objection to it? Okay, well, then let's just make that change.
Okay, so 9 will be at the very end, and 10 will be after.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, that takes us to basically item 6. Amanda, can you help us out with that?
Item number 6 is comments from the public. Any person wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. State your name, address, and please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
So I'm opening it up for the public to provide comments if you wish to do so. Okay, I don't see a big crowd going there, so we'll close that and move to the next item.
Item number 7 is potential conflicts of interest. Any commission member who has a potential conflict of interest shall now identify the item and recuse themselves from discussing and voting on the matter pursuant to Government Code Section 84308.
So I'll ask commissioners, is there any conflict of interest you would like to highlight? Okay. So we have none. Continue.
Item number 8 is approved consent agenda items 8A and 8C, 8A being the minutes from the LAFCA meeting of April 9th, 2025, 8B, the update of Fresno LAFCO's employee handbook, and 8C, City of Kerman Del Norte Estates.
All right, so first I'll ask the commissioners if they would like to pull anything from the agenda. That doesn't sound like there is. Then I'll open it up to the public if the public would like to have any items on the consent agenda pulled. All righty, not seeing any. Let's keep moving.
I'll move for approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, so we got a motion second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
So we're doing item.
So
it's item 10.
Item 10?
Yeah.
All right, so let me go back and reflect what 10 is again. So can we get a staff report on 10?
Mm-hmm.
Will do.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. During the April 9th hearing, a question arose during agenda item number 7. Shepherd Minnewala Northeast Reorganization. The question was directed to the City of Clovis staff from Commissioner Maxig. The question was if there were plans on making improvements to the Beheimer and Fowler Avenue intersections. A representative from the City of Clovis responded to Commissioner Maxig, nodding his head in agreement. The next day, City of Clovis staff wanted to clarify that this intersection was still in county jurisdiction and Clovis did not have near-term plans for these roads. In an email from Clovis, it was mentioned The city of Clovis did not have near plans for these roads. We do intend to further improve these roadways in association with development if mitigation is needed and the roads were in city limits. For the time being, these roadways are within the county's jurisdiction, and the city would be willing to support the county's plan for these roadways. County staff has expressed their concerns to this question and wish to open the reconsideration period. The request from the county was to analyze the Fowler-Beheimer intersection, which is east of this project, to evaluate the mitigate impacts from the city's approved urban development. City and county have mentioned to LAFCO that they are willing to work together to address these concerns. In light of these findings, LAFCO staff recommends the commission to receive and file this information as no action is necessary at this time. Staff, as well as representatives from the city of Clovis, are in attendance for any further questions. This concludes staff presentation.
Okay, so there's no action necessary, but let's open it up for questions by the commissioners. Nathan?
Yep. So just some general questions. I think right now Fowler and Beheimer is operating at a service level of F, if I'm not mistaken, which it's failing, intersection's failing. And I've looked at some different traffic studies that were put together by the city for different projects, which are west of that location. And in the traffic studies, it identified impacts to roadways, but it almost, from my standpoint, as I was reviewing these things, it looked like it left out Beheimer basically about a mile east of Minnewawa as you approach Fowler and Beheimer, and then impacts to Fowler as well. So I think it is clear that with these developments that are taking place, and especially improvements that continue to happen on Shepherd Avenue, there is traffic that is impacting Fowler and Beheimer, correct?
There is traffic today on Fowler and Beheimer. It's uncertain whether the new projects on Clovis to the west are the sole contributor, though.
Oh, no, not sole contributor, but contributing enough to, you know, the intersection's already failing, so... And it's my understanding, too, that the city of Clovis, with the fees that you collect right now for the Northwest Urban Village, that Fowler and Beheimer also is a recipient at some point of a traffic signal. Is that correct? There are fees that are being collected for that intersection?
Currently, no, because that intersection is not in our sphere. Once it is added to our sphere and those road segments as well, then it would be incorporated into our fee system.
So I met with folks who are building out there, Brandon and others who I think are in the audience, who shared with me that they already are paying fees for that particular intersection. So I need to get some clarity on that, because I was always, and also too, I was always under the impression that Clovis was collecting fees for areas that are being impacted, even if they are outside the sphere. As traffic patterns impact roadways in general, you want to have mitigation measures, I would imagine, correct?
Well, our impact fees are only covering what's in our sphere. We haven't looked at projects to do like a fair share for intersections outside of our sphere. If it was justified, yeah, we would consider it, but our impact fees do not cover anything that's outside the sphere.
All right, then I'm going to need to, Brandon, I'm going to call you forward. Broussard, I know you're hiding in the back. Come forward, because this specifically came up, and I was with the members at the meeting that we had on Monday. I was told that there were fees being collected for Fowler and Beheimer, so we need to talk about that a little bit.
Maybe if I could clarify that, though, for you. We do have a proposal to expand the sphere that will go up to Beheimer, and once that is approved, then we would adjust our fees for the next update, and we would likely put a signal there, so we would include that in the fees as well as improvements to Fowler and Beheimer, since they are major roadways in the area. I'll let Mr. Broussard speak to his statement.
Yeah, Brandon Broussard, Umabi and Horn Engineering. So I jumped the gun a little bit of it as talks we're having. We are in the works of specific planning the whole 700 acres that Ricuti family owns out there. So we are working in bringing that in the study that we did for the traffic. We did analyze this intersection because of the level of service F that it is at. So in the process of our going through what we're doing with the specific plan, eventually it'll be brought in the sphere and it is part of the fee. So I just kind of, unfortunately, didn't comment to you, and I'm sorry about that.
No worries. And then timeline, how soon is that gonna, how soon will that happen?
For the specific plan, we're trying to get adopted by the end of this year to into June of next year. In that time frame window, we've been working on it for a while. For the actual sphere annexation timeline, I would defer to the city for that.
The sphere expansion is still in the works. We're working on the environmental review. Tentative timeline is when we end of the year of 25, that it goes to commission and the council for their consideration.
There was a joint meeting between the county and the city in December of last year, and there were documents that were handed out showing future intersections, including Fowler and Beheimer, that would be signalized. And also, I think Mini Wawa and Beheimer was an intersection identified that would be signalized too at some point. And that is in the city sphere currently, if I'm not mistaken. So I believe at that meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you were there, there was a statement that was made that within the next 5 years, all those improvements that were laid out on the map would be in place. I think that's what was conveyed.
Yeah, I wasn't at the meeting. I want to see if I'm going to ask for some help. We'll phone a friend.
So you are correct, Nathan. At that meeting, we did make assumptions that if development continued according to how the developers were portraying it to us, that within 5 years, we assumed that a signal would be at that location. But that's all based off development that has been coming in our the Vista Ranch area. I don't know if you're aware of that development, but if that comes in, it would bring in this intersection into the sphere, and it also would have conditions of building a signal.
And with some of these improvements, and thank you, board, for humoring me on this, but it's important, I think it's important for us and also for the other hats that two of us wear on the county side. So the improvements are both with the intersections being developed. Are you looking at widening both Fowler and Beheimer at some point in the future?
We are. Exactly what that will be is still being discussed. I think it's something that we need to kind of have a more communication with the county on exactly what that comes out to, but yes.
Okay. And I know that it was stated into the record that both the city and the county staff have committed to work together through these. For me, I want to make sure that I fully support development. We need it. But we need to also make sure that where traffic is creating impacts and we have intersections that are failing, that appropriate mitigation measures are being put in. And I granted, you know, most of the traffic at those locations aren't from new projects. Some of them are from, you know, older projects. But just looking at traffic patterns and where, you know, people are coming and going through areas, a lot of that traffic on Fowler up to Beheimer are people who are going to school, whether it be the K-12 school or community college, and a lot of them cut through that area to go back into the city of Clovis. So the rural residents who've been there for many, many decades, they're not the ones generating the traffic. It's a lot of the new developments that have happened. So we need to pay attention to Fowler, Beheimer, and I've got the commitment from the city, correct, that you're going to be working with county staff to mitigate impacts moving forward.
We will work with county, yes, we will.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Maybe you can answer this question. Why wasn't that in their sphere of influence when they annexed that other property? How did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you that the Northwest Urban Village actually didn't go much farther east, really, than Sunnyside up until maybe 10 years ago. And then it was allowed to kind of move north from there. But originally, when the spheres Clovis, when the spheres that Clovis is growing into right now, both in the southeast and northwest, were approved, they've been modified since then to allow for larger areas to be annexed. So the I don't think the city has yet to apply to LAFCO to grow their sphere all the way out to Fowler. But what I'm hearing the city say is that that application is going to be forthcoming by the end of 2025 to make it even bigger. Correct? Yeah.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. Good.
Nathan, if I can clarify regarding that last statement. So with the proposed Vista Ranch project, a part of the application proposal includes a sphere change that, as Sean indicated, our city council, we anticipate taking it to them by the beginning of next year. So LAFCO may actually see it sometime in the spring. The actual full application that includes the sphere of influence expansion and annexation of a portion of that.
You said this spring or next spring?
Next spring.
Next spring.
Yeah, of 26.
Spring's almost over.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's like in a month, it'll be over. All right, thank you.
No, it seems like had the same kind of problem on the west side of the metropolitan area, Fresno's jurisdiction, but they took different roads. That was a lot of people talk about, oh, you need to have a tax sharing agreement. Sometimes it's better not to have one, because you can do a one-off and say you need to take this intersection, that intersection, mm-hmm. if you want to do an annexation. Mm-hmm. And look and jump ahead of the deal so you don't have traffic patterns where it's basically 90% city cars that are causing all the traffic mm-hmm. in a county intersection.
All right. Is there any other comments, questions by commissioners on this subject? All right, not seeing any. I'm going to go ahead and open it up to the public. I guess we've indicated the requirements of name, time, and all that already.
Bernard Jimenez, Fresno County Department of Public Works and Planning. Thank you, Commission, for considering this item here today. And the comments that have been mentioned, I concur with in terms of our communications and coordination with the city, but we are seeing trends that are occurring that are becoming somewhat concerning. And obviously we're talking about Fowler-Beheimer, but we're seeing that on other segments of roads, specifically Sunnyside Avenue, and we've been talking to the city about that, about increased approval of urban development and its impacts to county roads. So I appreciate the city's comments about its willingness to continue to communicate and collaborate with the county. We certainly are looking forward to that. Just incidentally, for the commission's information, the SOI expansion that will be coming to your commission for consideration, there will be an amendment to the tax sharing agreement between the city and the county, and we will certainly be addressing these types of issues through that agreement. So with that, I appreciate your commission taking this matter up.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Is there any other comments from the public on this matter? Okay. Not seeing any. This is a receive and file. No action required, so we'll move on to the next item.
Item number 11 is Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update prepared for Mid-Valley Water District. Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update prepared for Raisin City Water District and the Raisin City Water District Reorganization.
Okay, so I think what we want to do is have a staff report on this.
Yes, that'll be Jessica.
That's me.
Jessica.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. The Raisin City Water District was formed in 1962 to provide irrigation water to territory within its boundaries. To date, Raisin City Water District has not been able to secure a source of service water entitlement. Growers within the district obtain water for irrigation purposes by pumping groundwater. The district's primary purpose is to improve groundwater conditions throughout the Raisin City area. The district's currently activated powers or services are planning related, as they are authorized to levy and collect assessments and standby charges, perform agreements, enter contracts, and plan for the distribution of water for irrigation purposes. Additional functions or powers enumerated in the district's principal act, which is Water Code Section 34000 to 38500, are latent powers, meaning that they are authorized by the principal act when the district is formed, but are not being exercised. Activation of these latent powers and services not currently provided by the district will require LAFCO authorization. Water Code 3400 to 38500 authorizes California water districts to acquire, plan, construct, maintain, improve, operate, and keep and repair the necessary works for the production, storage, transmission, and distribution of water for irrigation, domestic, industrial, and municipal purposes. On May 13th, 2024, almost exactly a year from yesterday, Raisin City Water District formally submitted to Fresno LAFCO an application for a sphere of influence expansion and annexation, including initial draft of an MSR and all associated fees. The application also included a proposed SOI reduction for Mid-Valley Water District, accompanied by a letter of support from the president of Mid-Valley Water District Board of Directors. The proposed Raisin City Water District SOI expansion will increase the sphere from 80,125 acres to 107,262 acres, so an expansion of about 27,000 acres. The proposed Raisin City Water District annexation will increase the district's service area from 51,719 acres to 55,543 acres. The proposed Mid-Valley Water SOI reduction will decrease acreage from 42,552 acres to 13,670 acres, which is also coterminous with their service area. As of today, LAFCO has received 26 letters of support for annexation from landowners within the white area, so not currently being served by a water district. That amounts to approximately 23,500 or so acres. We have also received one landowner consent form and one registered voter consent form from an individual in the affected territory. However, we are in the process of clarifying intent with the landowner as the form consents to annex to James Irrigation District, which is not a proposal at this time. LAFCO has received comments from Fresno County, James Irrigation District, Reclamation District number 1606, Fresno Irrigation District, Kings River Conservation District, and Kings River Water Association. I'm happy to read each of those or any of those letters into record if you wish. Each commissioner has a copy of the letters at the dais there. At this time, staff recommends continuing this item to a date certain of July 9th, 2025, to allow additional time for further analysis of comments received by the mentioned agencies prior to a full consideration by the commission. This concludes staff's presentation. And representatives, I believe, from Raisin City are in attendance. I know they were planning on being. Okay, I can't see very well down here.
We'll probably have questions.
Okay, great. And yes.
Before
staff
we go
is
there,
open for questions.
Before we go there, so I think it's a, I think it's important for you to reflect on what the messaging has been from the water organizations, so that everybody understands the tone of that. And so, what I don't want you to read the letter. I just want you to, in a nutshell, basically highlight what the messaging is. So, let's start with Kings River Water Association.
They would like their facilities and infrastructure easements reflected on the map. They would like to be noted within the MSR. So basically, they just want their facilities to be seen within this MSR. And the most recent one we received was Kings River Water Association, and they also were concerned about some of the language within the MSR that related to the source of surface water, particularly coming from the Kings River, that I believe that was hands-off in how they interpreted that.
Yeah, let's be as clear as possible about that, right? I mean, that's important to understand
yes.
where people are coming from.
Yes, and we just received that letter yesterday as well. So this is...
So my interpretation, which can vary depending on who's reading it, right? My interpretation is that they're being perfectly clear that the Kings River water has been fully appropriated. And so they are very concerned with anybody claiming any rights to that water.
Correct.
That's a serious matter. Water in California is a serious matter. And so we want to be very clear. And I think we want to talk about that just a little bit, only because it provides the basis for us to want to not move quickly on this, and therefore continuance becomes a very viable way of providing more adequate time for assessments and so forth. That's where I was going with this.
Okay.
All right. And so Kings River certainly is key in they're the water master for Kings River, right?
Kings River Water Authority.
Well, the Water Master
Association.
Yes, from the Water Master.
Correct. And so was the same theme voiced by some of the other agencies that you have mentioned? And if so, which agencies were those? Again, consistency and theme.
So
those themes are shared across between the Kings River Water Association, more or less KRCD, as well as Fresno Irrigation District. The other letters from James Irrigation and Reclamation District 1606 also highlighted those, but also went a little bit deeper into some specific language they wanted to hear as well. Their infrastructure pertains mostly to the well field that would be in the proposed annexation area. So today what we're looking to ask for is continuation to address these comments. But in addition to that, when this comes back to us in July, this MSR would have to be approved before they can request the annexation part of it as well. It's kind of a domino effect. They would also have to come back after that to activate latent powers and to basically say, hey, you know, if they need to go out for a Prop 218 for fees, it's tougher to do that until it's first in their service area. So this is kind of a stepping stone, and then they would come back to the commission with updated, here's where the water is coming from, here's where it's going,
sure,
here's how the infrastructure will be maintained. We're going to spell all that out for you. So
okay,
even though we're recommending this to be continued to July, pending commission's decision after that, they would still need to come back to have the full green light, so to speak, to operate the way they're envisioning.
Well, let's go ahead and walk through the process, because I think there's a number of folks out in the audience possibly want to provide some input. We want to give them that opportunity. We also want to give the opportunity for our commissioners to ask any additional questions so they can at least get as good an understanding of the issue, because this, you know, without question, is a little complex, and so we don't want to make it too simple here. So first, I'm going to open it up for the commissioners for questions that they may have in regard to this matter.
I just got one. I don't know if anybody's here from Raisin City Water District. What's the reason to annex all the ground that's not in either Mid Valley or Raisin City?
Hi, Randy Hopkins with Provo and Pritchard. I work as a district administrator, district manager for Raisin City. The reason for annexing all the white area within the McMullen GSA is kind of twofold. First is and this is something that the district and the growers out there have been requesting of the districts to consider for going on nine plus years. After MAGSA, as MAGSA was getting formed and SGMA was taking hold, the growers in the white area wanted to be able to directly elect their representation on the MAGSA board. The MAGSA board's a joint powers authority, one board member from Mid Valley, two board members from Raisin City, a board member, which is a supervisor for Fresno County, Supervisor Pacheco, and an appointed landowner in the area. So they wanted to be able to directly elect the people that represent them instead of having that be appointed. That was the first, and I know there's growers here who can probably articulate that better than me, but that was kind of, to boil it down, that's the reason. The second is MAGSA has certain limitations on how they can assess, build infrastructure, and operate. So ultimately, you know, if the districts and the GSA are successful in developing water deals, assessing those lands, building the infrastructure to do so likely needs to be done through the water districts. So that's the other reason to do this. And so it's kind of those two reasons. And it's a bit of a chicken and the egg situation where if we can continue to plan for that bigger area, then the districts are able to kind of keep things moving forward there. There's been a lot of public review of this through the board, the various district board meetings, including a joint board meeting with Mid Valley and Raisin City, where they determined how they would, you know, Mid Valley would give up sphere of influence and Raisin City would ask to annex those areas in.
What efforts, if any, have occurred in terms of having dialogue between, let's say, Raisin City and the Kings River Water Association? Has there been any dialogue going on, or is this just bringing it to the table?
The as far as the annexation is concerned?
Yeah.
Or overall? Yeah, so I think this is kind of the first we've heard these concerns more through the MAGSA avenue than we have through the Raisin City avenue. I think talking to folks here, right, certainly want to resolve those issues and address them appropriately. So,
before you leave, is there any other questions from the commission or to Raisin City?
No, I could ask questions all afternoon, but that, we have other things to do. Yeah. So,
all right. So I'll let you.
Thank you.
And so I'm going to.
I'll just disclose one thing. I am Brian's alternate. But we always let the third alternate because of potential litigation, because I'm an alternate in North Kings. I've just made the choice that if Brian can't actually be in a North Kings meeting because he's the representative, then the fact that I've never went to a meeting since it was formed, then I can go to a North Kings meeting and not be excluded from closed session.
Okay.
And I'm also on the East Kings GSA. In fact, the chair. And I'm the vice chair of the North Fork Kings.
All righty. So, you know, I want to make sure that particularly Ms. Martinez and Dan understand some of the terminology that was used, because it is important to understand what white areas means. And so you guys have a good understanding of what that means?
I hear like...
Yeah, can you give Mr. Martinez?
I have a ton of questions, but, you know, there's a lot of research behind on these.
Yeah, so let's help you out, because I think we need to understand terminology. So white areas represent areas in which...
Okay, so just a quick overview here. So within the McMullen GSA, there are areas that are pretty much covered by what is currently Raisin City and areas that are covered currently under Mid Valley. Now, that's the districts that overlie the entire GSA, which is kind of underneath it for to layer these in a certain way. The white area is essentially areas where farmers don't really have the direct representation, so it kind of falls onto the Board of Supervisor representation for that instance, to where they really just are trying to get access to surface water rather than groundwater, and that white area is kind of falls in between any of those two categories where they aren't able to access that directly as easily as they would like, but I'm sure...
Well, let me describe it.
Of chopping that up,
Brian. Let me describe it differently. I think, and Buddy, you can weigh in to make it correct. But basically, white areas are areas where there is lack of water, both surface and below. Makes it very difficult for farming if you do not have water. So,
right, and there's kind of like there's two classes of white areas. Okay, there's a better class, which is Raisin City and Mid Valley, that don't have surface water, but they're an organized irrigation district. You do get some confusion in some places. There's a wide area in the North Fork Kings, but part of the wide area is in Liberty Water District, which really doesn't have any water. It only has like a share of the mutual stock company. I don't want to get out in the weeds too deep, but so there's basically two types of white areas, Then there's wide areas that aren't in FID but are against the foothills, but they're still subject to SGMA. And there's also some wide areas that are in the west side that are technically in SGMA, but they're not in Westlands Irrigation District.
I guess the point I was trying to make is
now this, everybody's more confused.
No, so I'm trying to try to simplify it. Basically, I think what's important to understand is that there's rationale for people that are in white areas that are particularly in farming that will understandably seek means by which to provide water for their area. So they'll do it in different ways. So that's the important thing, is to understand there's a need for water in these white areas, and they're doing what they can to try to figure out how they can provide that water source for them, simply put. Okay, so is there any other questions from the commissioners in this regard?
Is there any more public comment?
Well, I haven't opened it up for public yet, so okay. I want to close commissioners. Okay, so I'm going to close the commissioners, and I'm going to if we can get the lights back on, and we'll open it up for the public for any comments from the public on this. So if you'd like to come on up and
you just stand in line there.
Yeah.
Happy John. Short. Yeah. 3 minutes. Good afternoon, Chairman Santoya, members of the commission. My name is Manny Amarelli, James Irrigation District Manager. Just want to say, first off, thank you to staff. This is a multifaceted issue that staff is trying to understand, and we're trying to help them out to understand it. And they've been doing their best trying to bring everybody up to speed. We're here just to protest the annexation of Mid Valley Water District, Raisin City Water District. Many different issues that we call out in our letter. Some of the greater ones is we have our well field out there. In the actual area, as Commissioner Mendez has mentioned, it's a white area. So the area to that green line you see on the map, that area to the west gets no surface water. Never has. They've never decided to join any irrigation district or water district in the past. And in fact, they turned down $15 flood water in 2023 for reasons that we still have no idea why. So our board has questions about why they're doing what they're doing. We're concerned about our well field. We're concerned about our infrastructure, our projects that are out there. And again, we trying to work with LAFCO, and Brian's been great with helping us out. Jennifer also, just with trying to get all the facts out there so everybody understands what's happening, what's going on in the area, the concerns that we have, the concerns that our partners have, and just trying to get the confusion out of the area. I know Mid Valley Water District, for some reason, had gone against LAFCO's recommendation to reduce their sphere of influence, but then they turned around and they voted to support the Raisin City annexation contrary to their first resolution. So we have no idea what's going on. We think there's a lot of confusion out there. And we would just like to bring all this to light. Basically, the area is if you look on the map, you look at it, and it's kind of like, what am I looking at here? And we're trying to educate basically the public as to what goes on out there in our area. And from what I understand, LAFCO's job is to maintain harmony amongst the special districts, and we hope that continue to do so with the understanding we have of what's going on. And with that, thank you for the comment period. If you guys have any questions, I'm available for any time. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I didn't know you were Supervisor Pacheco's relief.
Yes.
And he couldn't make last week because, his dad had surgery. And it's a good thing you didn't come.
That's why I didn't
go. It was our longest meeting in 3 years. So yeah. It was good you didn't come. So good afternoon. My name is Jonathan DeGroat. I'm a third-generation dairy farmer in Fresno County. My family's been here 55 years, and we farm both in Fresno Irrigation District and Raisin City Water District. I'm here today as a board member from Raisin City Water District, and I also represent Raisin City on the McMullen GSA board. And then I'm the ad hoc committee member from Raisin City for the annexation. So whenever we meet with LAFCO, I get to go along. So anyway, the requirements set forth by SGMA have caused the farmers in our state to change how we operate and come up with creative ideas to help us reach sustainability. The farmers in the White area have been working towards annexation for many years, 9 years is what we heard. They've devoted countless hours of their time and money towards obtaining representation. The Raisin City Water District Board studied the requests meticulously and held public meetings to gauge the level of support from both Raisin City Water District members as well as White area farmers. We held public meetings in Kerman, and we've done that over the last few years. Annexation would expand Raisin City Water District's financial budget and allow us to build the project needed to help our district, GSA, sub-basin, ultimately our basin, and our state to comply with SGMA. And that includes not only Raisin City Water District and MAGSA, it includes James Irrigation District, Fresno Irrigation District, and Consolidated Irrigation District. If we fail, they fail. We're all in it together, so. The McMullen GSA has been working hard on developing the Agua Terra Water Bank, and if you're unfamiliar with that, please look it up. It's been a long project in the making. It's a project where we can work with banking partners to actually bring water into the GSA and bank it under our surface. We're having trouble building reservoirs, so we figured the best reservoir is underneath us. So one quick comment on the Kings River comment you made earlier about water appropriations. There's no language in the annexation that addresses water appropriations, or are we trying to obtain any appropriated waters through annexation? So we understand that the water that we would like to bring into our district and bank, it would be coming from purchases or other agreements with neighboring districts. So the farmers of the White area deserve to be represented, and I'm sure you'll hear some of that today. And Raisin City Water District farmers deserve to have opportunities to take the measures to comply with SGMA and ensure their farmers have the opportunity to continue their family farming legacies. I'll close my comments by saying LAFCO's been amazing. It's been a new process for me to work with LAFCO and come to their office and see all your cool Star Wars figurines. So what's been nice is that they've been very open with us about the comments. When the comment letters came in, we got to go in and read them line by line and understand exactly what the agencies were wanting and take the recommendations as far as, hey, let's take some more time. And so we've been working with Fresno Irrigation District and we've had meetings with LAFCO and James Irrigation District to try to iron everything out, because like you said, we want to take our time and make sure that we don't miss anything here. And so, yeah, it was a little disheartening that Kings River jumped in this week, because, we want to go. But we understand that it's better to pump the brakes, address the comments. We've been discussing it all week, and it's all stuff that I think we'll be able to work out with them. And so we're excited. We want to do it right, and we appreciate your time and attention to the matter. So thank you.
Hello, hi. I'm Matt Abercrombie. I'm a landowner in the White area, west of Kerman, southwest of Kerman out there. And as Jonathan said, we've been working on this for a number of years since the SGMA came into play and MAGSA was formed. We recognized from the beginning the landowners in that area. It's kind of what Buddy said. A water district without water is still better than a White area. Being in the White area, we're really unorganized, really don't have direct representation like we'd like. Working with Raisin City, we're hoping to get this annexed. We'll have a voice. We'll be able to raise funds. And, as I stand here today, what's the one thing that we're going to do today? Well, we don't know yet. This is going to be something that's going to happen down the road in the future, and we want to be prepared for it. So by annexing, with Raisin City, becoming a larger district where we can raise funds, where we can be organized and do projects that we're going to need to become successful, become sustainable here in the future. Growers in the White area ponied up the money, work with Raisin City to get to this point. So we've been working with LAFCO staff to get to here, and you're right. I wish we'd get all this done before the July 1st date, but we understand we need to do this correct. There's some concerns, and we want to address all that. But I think it, you know, obviously, I believe it'll be a big benefit to the white area growers, the Raisin City growers, and hopefully everybody in the North King Basin, you know, that this whole basin will be sustainable and we'll be able to be part of that. So thank you.
Yeah, before you leave, I would reiterate that, there's a strong possibility we will continue this, and if we do, it provides an opportunity for maybe some more dialogue to occur with those agencies that have some concerns for you to work out before we bring it back to here. So I would just encourage that to happen.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, here again, the white area, we're really having to work through Raisin City, or Raisin City is taking the lead on this because we're a white area. We're not organized. We don't know how to do it other than work through Raisin City. So we're letting them take the lead on it, and we'll be successful, and hopefully it's not another year, but a few more months, and we'll work through all of this.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Good afternoon, Commission. I'm Steve Haugen, Water Master for Kings River Water Association. We deliver water to about 1 million acres. We represent the 28 water rights holders on the Kings River. The river is considered fully appropriated by the State Water Resources Control Board, which means that there is no water available, according to the state board. Within our membership, we have 13 public agencies and 15 mutual water companies that basically surround the area that's being presented here. So that's who we are. I apologize for the late notice or our late submittal of comments. I personally was just made aware of this about 2 to 3 weeks ago. So this is a brand new issue to be brought forward within the association for discussion. We know MAGSA has been working on stuff and that, but this Raisin City and their documents are fresh to us. So as you can imagine, dealing with 28 folks takes a bit of time to coordinate those efforts and make sure everybody's on board. The other piece I would present with this is the water supply that they note as a possibility is a highly speculative water supply at best. Again, that would require the state board, the State Water Resources Control Board, to remove the fully appropriated streams designation and then go through a full water rights hearing, which is a slow and tedious process. If they're doing an aggressive application, contrary to what's out there, as it stands, under most cases, the water on the Kings River is fully utilized, except in those extraordinarily wet years. So that's all I wanted to offer up for today. Unless there's any questions, I can answer for the commission.
Is there any questions for Steve? No. So, Steve, I tell you, I'd give you the same recommendation, is that, it wouldn't hurt to have dialogue and see if there's means by which that your concerns could be addressed in a fashion where you're satisfied. We would rather try to, have a win-win situation for everybody if possible. I know it's not always possible with water, but if it's going to come back to us, it would be easier for us if there was some middle ground that was, found. So that's all I would encourage that. But I fully understand your situation.
Thank you.
Okay, is there, all right.
Thank you. Randy Hopkins again with Provo and Pritchard. I just wanted to take, since I was just responding to some questions earlier, I do want to take the opportunity to thank the staff at LAFCO because they have been tremendous to work with. So, and just to reiterate, what Director DeGroot from Raisin City mentioned earlier, that district is committed to working through all of these issues. And when the comments were received from Fresno ID, Reclamation District 1606, James ID, KRCD, even this week when we got the letter, we jumped on those. We resolved them quickly. KRCD, we've submitted them, and I've talked with their manager about how to resolve that, and I think we're working towards a path to that. So I just reiterate the district's continued commitment to doing all of that, because really, at the end of the day, they're while it is a speculative nature, I think a lot of what the wide area folks within California and the Valley are doing is largely trying to when there is water available for purchase, or that they can take advantage and buy that water and put it in the ground for the future, and that's one of the solutions to Sigma. So,
all right, thank you. Is there any other public comments on the matter?
Commissioners, my name is Jerry Radnoff. I am a landowner and farmer. My family is in the White area, but also in Fresno Irrigation District. My concerns are quite simple. I wish to have a voice in how determinations are made in regards to how we implement the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act to take advantage of any waters if they become available. I'm not claiming any right to any water. I just want representation, and if water is available, to make beneficial use of that water, keep it in the King Subbasin, and perhaps also help downstream flooding for the cities of Mendota and Fireball and others. There are many disputes on the table here. Those are going to be, from my perspective, are going to be litigated and dealt with in other arenas. I'm simply asking the right to have self-determination.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other comments from the public? All right. Not seeing any. I think the recommendation of staff was to continue this topic. Is there
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Okay, so
buddy, I'll second.
Okay, this motion is second to go ahead and continue it. We're looking at continuing it to when?
To July 9th.
July. Okay. So that is on the table. Those in favor may say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we got unanimous on that.
I thought Jessica did a really good job. I mean, for not understanding what this is probably until you actually got this to do.
It's been a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Quite a process. Interesting.
But just one more comment. When we first started this process in 2015, I had this, Brian kind of copied, it was a no orphan policy. And the fact that you have somebody willing to adopt you is, that's probably a good thing.
Yes.
All right. So what's our next topic?
Quick clarification, if I may. It was Commissioner Maxig was first and Parra was second, correct?
No, Buddy was first.
Buddy made the motion.
Buddy was first. Okay.
Sorry. I know he looks kind of like.
Oh, got our clerk Pollock. People on the job over here.
All right. So what's next up to bat?
Item number 12 is 2025 salary resolution update.
Okay. We have a staff report on that and recommendation.
Okay. Brian? Thank you, Chairman. So, yes, we did meet with our salary resolution ad hoc committee where we discussed updating our salary resolution. I was able to provide some background data on where we fell with the agencies that were identified by the commission as basically competitive agencies. The general recommendation by the ad hoc committee was to land somewhere that was a little bit higher than the county, but we will be a little bit under what other local cities are at, and as well as what other comparable LAFCOs would be at. With that said, the current salary resolution is up on the screen now with where we're at currently, and then we'll take a quick look at what's proposed. The one item the ad hoc committee and I did not discuss was the intern, but that's state mandated as minimum wage. So,
can you lower the lights just a little bit for us older guys that can't quite see that well?
Thank you, Juan.
I'm talking about us, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, that's better.
Okay.
So can you walk us through it?
Awesome. So for the proposed resolution, proposed update, we would essentially be giving the our clerk 3 range and our LAFCO analyst 1 through 3 range, 1 through 1 and 2 range. More or less, it comes out to about somewhere between $500 and $600 per month. These numbers before you are what that comes out to annually. The numbers that we discussed in the ad hoc committee were then basically taken from there, a 5% step increases either forward through the end of analyst 3 or for the clerk to commission backwards to the beginning of commission, clerk to commission 1, step 1. So that's kind of where we fell with these numbers here. That also happened to land just under where our senior LAFCO analyst band would start. So it does kind of open a nice transition if we do have a need for that in the future. And the other update that was recommended is for the salary range for the executive officer. Currently, right now, I'm just about at the ceiling of where we're at. And so the recommendation was to bring that ceiling down to the bottom and essentially give assume 5 years worth of 5% increases to the ceiling. With that said, I'm not sure if the ad hoc committee members have anything to add, but this is the
Dan,
recommended.
You were part of the subcommittee. Can you?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and add a little bit. So yeah. When we looked at the numbers, they were considerably low, lower than Fresno County, definitely lower than Clovis. And in the cases that we looked at, Stanislaus, and I think it was Sacramento?
Sacramento and Kern.
Yeah, they were substantially lower there also. At least it puts us in fighting range with the county. Not so much Clovis. Clovis pays considerably more. But at least we can be competitive. That goes for trying to acquire personnel to come here and to keep them here. So we kept it at a minimum. I think everything that we did was almost pretty close to equivalent to what the county starts off at their positions. So,
all right. So we can get the lights back up.
I think Jesse's on it.
Buddy, I don't know if you
have. Yeah, I mean, it came back on. We kind of split the difference on some of them.
Yeah.
Is basically what we did.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, the ad hoc committee also asked me to put together some data on budget impacts. I wasn't quite sure if you guys meant budget impacts to the remainder of this fiscal year, which is on the screen now. Our interns, we are already currently meeting state requirement. If we were to basically put this in place now, that's what it would cost us to get through the remainder of this fiscal year, just over $15,000. And then the budget impacts, though, to the upcoming final budget that we'll be talking about next, would have a little bit more impact just because it applies for 12 months worth and not, you know, a month and a half to 2 months. With that said, it would bump up our budget to $73,800. That is reflected in the current budget that I will go over next, which, with all that to say, everything factored in for the allocation impacts to the cities and to the county, it would still be at a 4% increase compared to our typical, under 4% compared to our typical 5. So if there are any recommendations to adjust lower than this, then we would save allocations even more. If they wanted to go higher, you know, we would do some quick math and try to figure that out.
All right, so let's start with this. Is Nathan going to be back?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to see him here for the vote, if possible. So, but
if you need me to talk a little bit longer,
no, I don't know. So I'm just going to go ahead and open it up for first questions on the commission. I'll give Nathan a chance once he gets back. Is there any questions or comments from the commission before I go to the public?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Chair, if I may, just one more quick item is the only other change we're looking to add to the salary resolution is to spell out the list of local agencies that were identified by the commission. That way, moving forward, we can just kind of track those specific ones and then report on those as needed instead of doing the whole song and dance from scratch every 3 years or so. We just kind of identify those and lock them in as our ways to
so
measure.
So you want consistency.
Right? You know, a little bit.
Different.
Just a little bit, okay. Yeah.
I get it. All right. So Nathan, it opened it up for any questions, comments by the commissioners. I know when it comes to money, you always have questions.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. We have mics that don't work, but it's all right. Okay, now they're coming back. Crazy. So just with what's being proposed, the questions I have, and it looks like you have a slide up, what's the impact to our budget for the upcoming year? And so, you know, you've got a slide up, which I guess it's showing it's going to be about a 17% rough increase, $73,800 for the 25-26 budget year, if implemented.
So the each individual increase would be clerk 9.2, analyst is a pretty big increase because we were that far behind. Analyst 2 as well, and the EO is just the typical 5 that we see. The average will be 17% as far as proposed increase, but I mentioned with everything factored in, the upcoming final budget still has an under 4% allocation impact to the county and to the cities to share. Our typical historical is 5%.
So with the salary range that you have proposed for the XO, so that being the case, if we were to implement your recommendation and adopt this new salary range, so you're within 5% of this particular range that's being proposed then?
Yeah, essentially right now I'm at the ceiling of our current salary resolution, and the ad hoc committee are interested in basically making that the floor, and then assuming I typically only ever ask for 5%, and so that's what that would come out to, just a 3,600 change. As far as where that falls competitively, that's a different question, but That's what that would likely impact us.
Okay.
So all that gets spelled out. We still have we have to do a closed session for EO evaluation. We have to do in June. You know, all that. This is kind of speculation at this point. So I'm just kind of trying to apply historically where we land with that.
All right. I have no more questions.
Yeah. So and our subcommittee buddy and Dan recommend this. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, I am going to open it up to the public for any comments on this matter. All right, not seeing any public. I guess my thoughts, generally speaking, are that, you know, I think it's important for LAFCO to have good staff, and we have to be competitive in terms of maintaining that staff. We've gone through periods where we have had challenges, and so I don't think we want to go through that again. So I would encourage the commission to look hard at the recommendation being brought by the subcommittee. Can I make a motion? Or I'll just make a motion because I believe pretty strongly that that's something that we ought to be doing. So, okay, so we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Where we go now?
So, Chair, Commissioner Parra just inquired whether or not, since we do have representatives from item 9 here that have been patiently waiting, if we can.
Okay. Yes.
That's go back and
agreeable
wait.
To the commission.
Right. I got to take off. I got a meeting out of time.
Hi, commissioners. I'm going to have to leave because I've got another board meeting, but sorry. I usually don't have meetings stacked this close together, and I didn't expect this one to go up against 3. Yeah.
Well, we actually had something to do.
All right, so what do we want to do, Brian?
So if we can go to item 9.
Yes, item 9. So do we need a staff briefing on?
Yes, we do have a staff report prepared for that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. Today, for your consideration, we have City of Fresno, Ashland Polk, numbers 3 and 4 reorganization, consisting of 20.23 acres to the City of Fresno on detachment from the North Central Fire Protection District and the Kings River Conservation District for territory located on the north and south sides of West Ashland Avenue between North Polk and North Gregory Avenues within the unincorporated portion of the city's sphere of influence boundary. The proposed reorganization is considered inhabited, and not all landowners or registered voters have consented to the reorganization. When the city submitted their application, registered voters and landowner data show that there were 4 registered voters and 6 landowners in the affected territory. After staff received comments from the Fresno County Elections Office, it showed that there were 13 registered voters in the area. Staff recommends commission approval by entering 2 separate actions. Action 1, addressing the CEQA component with LAFCO as acting responsible agency. And Action 2, addressing letters A through F and H as detailed in staff report. As of yesterday, staff received protests from 5 landowners and totaling 14 protests, including registered voters. We received 3 comment letters, which are were provided for your review. If the chair desires, we will read them out loud for the record. Staff and representatives from the City of Fresno are in attendance to answer any questions. And that will conclude staff presentation.
Okay. Maybe you can, again, I'm not asking to read letters, but if you can, is there a general theme to the letters?
So we did receive one letter from FID that they just wanted to be aware of everything going on in the project. They did spell out some concerns, which were forwarded to the city. And they received that on May 5th via email. We did receive 2 letters from landowners. One letter from a landowner just expressing her concerns of how this project back in November of 2024 was a project that was rejected by voters. And another via email that just had the protest forms for a family that lives in that area.
Again, I probably missed it, but how many landowners are being impacted and how many of those have weighed into this issue?
There are 6 landowners in the area, and there are a total of 13 registered voters.
But how many weighed in?
Yes.
We did receive.
So yeah. we basically have received some form of protest form completed by 5 of the landowners. We do have 1 consent form, but that is from the developer looking to develop their piece of land. That's why we're requesting the conducting authority hearing. That way we can vet the protest forms received, fully count out how that applies. We have 2 different thresholds, 1 for landowners, which boils down to land value, and then 1 for registered voters. If we're able to trip the thresholds on either or of those, it kind of depends whether it falls in the we didn't receive enough, so it's approved, we received enough to terminate the project, or there is that fun middle area where if it lands within that, it goes to decision by election. Similar to, it was in this area last year, but for a much larger portion. That was around 140 acres that went to the voters, and they voted no. This one is...
Yeah, this is a leftover piece of the Fanuki.
This is a much smaller piece of that. Right. It's under 14% as far as comparing
to the acres. Under the deal, the city had to attempt to annex it as long as the landowners didn't tell them they didn't want to be annexed.
The project that came through last year, that was a requirement of that, yeah.
Okay, any other questions by the commissioners?
My question is this. You have 6 landowners, 5 in some form or another have protested, correct?
Yes.
And one of the scenarios is if it's verified, then the deal's done. So for me, I would like to, again, like we did with the other one, carry it to next month so that you can verify it. And if it's verified, then the deal's done. Otherwise, what you're saying today is per law, it fulfills the requirement. We'll say yes. You'll go back, verify, and if it doesn't because of the 5, then you'll terminate.
So, yes, you're correct. So, essentially, what we're here today is asked to determine and review the project based off of does it meet our policies and does it meet state CKH policies. The conducting authority hearing is a separate action that allows the registered voters and the property owners to basically have their own determination that as long as we hold that conducting authority proceeding, I am able to then report back to the commission and say, commissioners, you approved this, you know, last month based off the findings of those conducting authority proceedings. It was either we did not receive enough protests, so it carries as approved, or received enough to terminate it. and there's no further action needed, I would just sign a certificate of termination. So what that does is basically allows the table to be set as far as the commission would say, you know, does this meet those requirements, yes or no? If it's yes, that sets the stage for LAFCO staff to follow through with that those proceedings, and wherever the chips fall is how it's determined. And I just report back and take action from there, rather than having to come back and ask these people to come out again say, you know, yes or no, here's our thoughts.
That's why you recommended approve.
So, we're recommending approval based on the facts that it meets our policies and it meets state requirements. But we're asking that since we did receive protest to hold the conducting authority proceedings to see if that determines if it's enough to be terminated, right. Which it looks like essentially now we pretty much have that, but we do have to take the time to verify the signatures, to verify they are the landowners and that they are the registered voters at the time that we receive the application, because technically between then and now they could have, you know, applied and registered to be a voter, when in fact we're not able to count that because they weren't there as of that date, if that makes sense.
Maybe we ask our legal their thoughts on it.
I agree with Brian's analysis. It would be good to verify all the information at the conducting authority proceedings. I did just want to note for the record as well that there is a provision in the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act, LAFCO law, regarding an application. So there was mentioned that there was an earlier election in November 2024 for a larger portion of this area, 140 acres. This one's only 20 point something acres. There is a limitation on no similar proposal involving same or substantially the same territory shall be initiated for 1 year after the date of adoption of a resolution terminating proceedings. So that election, after we got the results back from the county elections officer, Brian issued a certificate of termination. So there would be a sort of 1 year limitation if this were the same or similar affected territory. Brian has determined that it's only 14% of the prior proposal. So we are recommending that this is not substantially the same or the same territory as the prior election, but I think it was noted in some of the comments letters, and we just wanted to bring it up for the record.
Yeah.
Any other comments, questions from the commission?
No, I think, remember I mentioned Fanuki and one-offs. Well, in the process, the city of Fresno took the right-of-way on Ashland. So it was like, hey, you want to do this, you got to take the right-of-way on Ashland. You can attempt to annex the whole thing, but the people don't want you to annex them. They don't have to get annexed. But the winning was you take the road because your city's causing the traffic. So that was the 411 on the end of the Fanuki project.
With that, I'm going to go ahead and open it up to the public to give them an opportunity to provide their input to this matter. So is there anybody in the public who would like to come and speak on this?
My name is Carmina Hernandez. I live at 5684 West Ashland. I'm here to express my firm opposition to the proposed annexation of 5 homes on the north side of Ashland Avenue between Polk and Hayes into the city of Fresno. I am a homeowner in this area, and I speak not only for myself, but on behalf of my fellow residents who are unified in our stance against this proposal. We made our voices heard clearly November 24th when 28.21% of the voters rejected this annexation. Despite the results, the local government and interested developers are attempting to override the will of the people through piecemeal. These divide and conquer tactics are both manipulative and disrespectful to the rights of our rights as property owners. We do not want to be annexed into the city or connect to the city's water or sewer systems. We do not support installation of island dividers that will obstruct traffic and limit access to our properties. Most important, we do not want to be subjected to new ordinances that dictate what we can and cannot have or do on our properties. This overreach infringes on the freedoms and the autonomy that we currently enjoy as an unincorporated area. Furthermore, it is highly likely that many of you voting on this matter do not live in our neighborhood and may not understand the realities that we face daily. Our community has suffered from decades of poor planning with little to no infrastructure or business development west of Fresno 99. We are forced to continue to commute east for even our most basic necessities, resulting in extreme congestion during the morning and evening hours. It can take me up to 20 minutes to drive 1.5 miles from my home to the freeway, often waiting through traffic lights, light cycles of up to 4 at a time, on Shaw and on Ashland. While the Veterans Boulevard project has provided some relief, it does not offset the burden placed on our roads by continuous new housing developments. Instead of annexing more properties, the city and county should focus on improving traffic infrastructure by coordinating light signals, widening Shaw and Herndon Avenue, and ensuring that they function as proper multi-lane thoroughfares where they cross Freeway 99. Additional investment is also needed to bring businesses, grocery stores, restaurants, medical facilities, and gas stations to the west side so we do not have to commute across town for basic services. Your mission states to serve the residents of Fresno County and the state of California by discouraging urban sprawl and encouraging efficient and orderly formation and growth of local agencies. Based on this, I must point out that your current actions contradict this mission. This proposed annexation would encourage urban sprawl burdenly already underdeveloped area with further traffic issues and disregard the strong opposition of existing residents. In conclusion, I urge you to respect the will of the people, adhere to your stated mission, and reject this proposal. This is not a move that serves the residents. It serves the investors and the developments at the expense of our quality of life and the community and community stability for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Lauren Smith. I work for Harbor and Associates Engineering. We don't own, but we're the engineers on the project on the south side of Ashland. The area that we are proposing to annex is 10 acres of the 20-acre subdivision. The west half is already in the city. Our tentative map was approved in 2008, and through all of the this time, the state gave various extensions on the map, and here we are at the end. We have probably a year or maybe 10 months left of approval on the map, and after that it expires. So I just hope you can take that under consideration when you're with your determination on this project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? All right. Seeing none. So I'm going to bring it back to the commission, unless the commission wants to get clarity on what our options are here.
Well, I was going to say the reason you're having it here is because it does fulfill the requirements. That part two will take place. So if we made a motion to go ahead with what you've recommended, with the addition of you coming back with the results, and if the results go that route, then the deal's off, right?
Yes, you're correct. So basically, per policies and per CKH that we operate under, this project by and large meets the requirements. Now, we do have that separate process of conducting authority that's purposely built so that the registered voters and the landowners still have their voice and still have the ability to say, you know, it's great, it meets your policies, but we don't want this. And so that creates that avenue for them. It helps us maintain our ongoing system of checks and balances as we try to essentially you have to balance preventing urban sprawl, but like she said, we also have to provide certain services, right? We need access to roadways and access to grocery stores and movie theaters. Well, all that by and large comes through development of a city. The county doesn't build, shopping centers and have all that in there. They're not going to upgrade their roadways and install traffic signals. Those are all city amenities. So we have that tough job of trying to balance that as we grow. And so that's why that portion of the process is built in there to maintain that balance.
Okay. Well, and the landowners understand that it's important for them to be engaged in this issue if they want their voice heard in terms of their so as long as they understand they have a role in this, they need to communicate what their position is clearly so that you guys then have an opportunity to bring it back to the commission for that purpose. Okay, having said that, I guess I'm bringing it to the commission for a motion.
So I guess my motion would be to, because it does fulfill the requirements, is to go ahead and say yes with, and if you can fill in the with, what do we have to put in the other portion of that just going to happen?
So that well, I believe there's two actions.
There's two actions, the CEQA portion and the other.
Yes,
right. So approval.
So I'll start with the first. The CEQA is easy. I make a recommendation for action one. Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Now this part two is where we...
Part two would be, per what you're trying to recommend, would be A through F plus H. So we take out G, because G assumes that we received no protest, which mm-hmm. could have been the case, but today we did receive protest, so H would apply.
All right, then I'll make a motion for A through F to include H.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, so do we have another action that we got to take here?
And that's a simple one. He'll cover that, and I have to go. You all take care.
Okay.
Apologize.
See you, Danny.
Take care, Dan.
What do we got left, the budget?
We still have, yes, the final budget, and then your deal with a little bit more. I have executive officer comments. Okay, I'll try to be
so,
quick.
So can we go to the next item?
Yeah, we'll jump to the final budget. And I will go over that. So a quick summary, where we're wrapping up for the current budget. The only major change we have is that last month I reported that we were 400% above our application fee target. Based off the latest numbers that we have, we are 500% above our application fee target. Just a quick background for Commissioner Martinez. We do have a tradition of cycling. We have three interns that we continually hire in a partnership with Fresno State. During the summer months, we open that up to any colleges across the state in case we have local kids that are visiting home and need to fulfill an internship. We did hire our third analyst to help out as we tried to meet our MSR goals. We did get the audit completed last year, which means this budget will include the request for funds for the next audit to start that process. And then we also switched liability carriers for significant savings. Some other changes here. Again, our fee revenues last year, we put in the budget anticipated $25,000 in fee revenues. Because we've received so much this year, I'm looking to bump that up to an additional $25,000 for a total of $50,000. The idea there being that, you know, we want to be able to continually exceed that goal. That way, the following budget cycles, we can use any excess funds to pay down future allocation needs. For interest revenue, we did surpass $15,000 in interest revenue. There is a significant decrease. We are going from 3.9% to 3.1% in interest earnings. And so I'm going to go ahead and set up a CD ladder, basically three-month separation allows us to have access once per quarter and build that ladder all the way to the end of the year. So those interest rates for those four CDs vary from 3.9% to 4.1%. We do have the ability to roll over this current year's budget fee revenue balance of an extra $130,000, which we'll be using to pay down those allocations. So basically this results in a 17% overall increase compared to last year's budget, but because we were able to pay down the allocations, it is coming out to 3.89% impact to the county and the cities for their allocations. So basically, commission is covering the rest. It is an audit year, and we did just return from a staff conference where we learned some more about some pretty neat software that I want to go over real quick. It's called CivicBound. It's designed specifically for LAFCOs. It's used to track, manage, and ensure CKH compliance for annexations and MSRs. Essentially, at the end of the day, while we love working with Jessie, it'll help us bother her a little bit less and make sure that we keep our projects on track to meet all the requirements and the certain milestones along the way. The pricing is still under development. And talking with the software developers, they are anticipating a worst-case scenario of $17,000 per year. That covers all of our staff for the full year. We do have a demo scheduled with them this next week, and they are currently seeking beta testers, which if we apply for that program, we get a little bit of a discount as well if we decide to go ahead with that. So because it just came in right at the last second, I've added in the worst-case scenario, $17,000 for your consideration. We're hoping it doesn't get up to that much. But at the end of the day, we're confident that it can either save us $17,000 by increasing our productivity and or bothering Jesse a whole lot less. So we're hoping to test it, give it a test drive, and see if, you know, for the year we end up, if that ends up saving us more or less, and we can go from there.
All right. So let me open it up for questions, comments by the commission.
Commissioner Maxig did ask last time about our paycheck, how that operates. Unfortunately, he had to leave, so I can catch up with him separately. But essentially, it came out to really, I think what he was pointing out last time was there's some unexpected charges, and those are actually just charges that came from changes to state and federal requirements. And so they were basically adjustments. And so it's not a typical amount that we pay. We do pay $75 every 2 weeks to run our payroll, which is pretty cheap compared to other LAFCOs who are either dependent and they pay the county to do it for them. The one other LAFCO that responded, they pay a bookkeeper $65 an hour, and they charge pretty much 5 hours every 2 weeks. So that comes out to considerably more than what we charge. So I'll catch up with Commissioner Maxig and update him on that. That brings us to our final proposed budget for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
So that software you were talking about, the one thing that bothered me was you said you hope it improves things. Usually that's not the word I look for when pushing the button to spend money. So what kind of analysis have we done to equate, you know, basically something that justifies the dollars?
Zero. This is a brand new software. It doesn't exist anywhere else. We can't compare it with, go out and ask questions to existing users. There are no existing users. This is a brand new, no one's ever seen it before software.
Give me a couple of examples of where you've seen it specifically going to save us time or increase efficiency. I want to get some idea of how there's value in the software.
So currently, pretty much staff has to go through each project on an individual basis and kind of by hand map out the milestones that are required for it. There are certain dates we have to meet for public hearing notices, certain dates we have to meet to get all the agenda prep. So it's basically helping them to track their projects and make sure that they're meeting those deadlines. And it also built in various ways that we can generate the mailing lists. Instead of doing that by hand, we just plug in an address and it spits out, okay, here are all the districts that you need to notify that'll be impacted by that. So instead of going through and mapping that out by hand, it kind of just generates that for you. We'll also be able to generate templates for the staff reports and for the public hearing notices, where we just plug in acreage, a date, and we point it to a mailing list, and it fills all that in for us. So again, so instead of going through and doing that by hand for each individual project at each individual milestone, it streamlines that to where you're just plugging in project details, and it starts spitting out what you need to do and when, and here is what you need to include in that mailing, and they're just printing and folding at that point rather than spending numerous hours typing all that out by hand. So, again, it's tough because we don't have a direct comparison. There's no other LAFCOs that have that for us to ask them questions. Hey, how many hours has this saved you? How has it streamlined your work? There's no one else to really ask for that at this point. It's brand new. So again, I agree. It's tough to just come and say, hey, we need $17,000. Please give it to us, right? We do have a staff will get a hands-on demo next week. Depending how that goes, I will likely ask to be beta testers and see how that goes. Essentially, what I'm asking to do is put that placeholder for that money just in case it does work out. Mm-hmm. Then we're ready to go. If the commission prefers, we can take that out and I can come in later with a budget amendment. But then we have to go through, okay, how does that affect where we pull allocations from? If we don't want to deal with allocations from the city and the county, then we have to show that we have application fees already in excess of 50 grand to cover that cost.
Yeah, no, well, you've given me enough. And basically, the last thing you noted is that we have an exit if you determine that it wasn't going to be working out. So, and that's all I need to know, is that you have an idea how it's going to improve the efficiency, and we do have an exit if you're not convinced that it's going to do that for us.
Exactly, so we still have more homework to do. I do anticipate asking the software representatives to come and give a quick spiel about it.
Right.
I just basically want to have the money there in case we are interested.
I get it. Okay, so I'm going to open it up to public for any comment on this matter. Not seeing a rush to the podium.
All right.
So,
motion to approve.
Okay, we got a motion to approve.
Second.
We got a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. What's next, Brian?
EO comments. I'll try to fly through these. You guys have been more than patient with us today. So just taking a look at June hearing, we'll have a regular minutes. We have a Kalinga annexation for a water treatment plant they're working on. Our regular agenda will include hopefully the Delray MSR. We will need to ask the commission to create an EO contract ad hoc committee, and then we will have a closed session for my evaluation. Your March financials are in front of you. If you have any questions today or in the future, please feel free to reach out to me. We will get those resolved for you. And a quick update on CalLAFCO. We did receive a board retreat summary and action plan. I will email that to you because your package today are packed enough as it is. I'll get you an email of that separately. They did send out a cultural assessment survey. If you have time for that, please fill that out. There is a central region listening session this Friday. You are all invited to. If you're interested, please let me know. We will get you information for that. It's in Manteca. And then we did receive a request to fill out SB 777. It's a letter that I would recommend having a letter of opposition. Essentially, SB 777 requires LAFCOs to identify a local agency to be responsible for abandoned privately owned cemeteries. Currently, if it's a district, a cemetery district, and that district goes under, we would need to work towards identifying a successor agency. That's kind of in the process as it is. This is looking to add on, if it's a private cemetery, we would be responsible for going through that song and dance as well, which in that scenario, it would be hard enough as it is trying to find someone to take over, but now we have to take on privately owned as well. Our recommendation would be to oppose that, and so we're asking the chair to sign that for us today, but if you have questions, happy to go into it. That's all I got.
Okay, so you're, unless commissioners have different feelings, I'll be signing that letter. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so what do we got now?
That's it. Okay. Commission comments, commission reports.
Yeah, this was not a short meeting.
We set a record today.
If that's all we have, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.